All right, let's unpack this. We are tackling the initial public offering, that electrifying moment when a private company steps into the public spotlight. But as we all know, that spotlight moment is really the end of an incredibly rigorous multi-stage marathon.
It really is. It's often romanticized as this single bell-ringing ceremony, but the reality, and your sources show this so well, is that it's a massive corporate transformation. It's all done under an intense regulatory microscope. For any company, it's probably the biggest thing organizationally they'll ever do.
Exactly. And you, our listener, you provided us with a truly fantastic set of sources, a guided journey document that maps out the entire IPO process, and it does it in eight incredibly distinct sequential phases. This roadmap is super detailed because it's specifically about the Indian regulatory framework, which means we'll be talking about key authorities like SEBI and the ROC.
And that specificity is a huge advantage. The value of this structured approach isn't just that it's chronological. It's an institutional blueprint. It defines not only what must happen, but crucial details, like who was legally responsible, from the company's secretary to the merchant banker, and what exact document unlocks the next stage.
So our mission today is to turn that complex roadmap into an understandable guide for you. We're following the journey from that first internal commitment all the way through the regulatory hurdles and finally to market access and maintaining public trust. Those eight phases are readiness, advisory, DRHP preparation, filing and approval, listing application, marketing, pricing and allotment, and finally, post-listing. So we begin with what the sources call the internal foundation. This starts with phase one, readiness. This is really where the company has to decide if it's genuinely ready for public life.
This is the internal mirror check. Going public isn't just about raising money. It's about shifting from these sort of internal management systems to, well, to internal accountability. The sources are really clear that the crucial roles here are purely internal: the board, the CFO, and the company secretary, or CS.
Okay, so what's the significance of the board needing to sign off? I mean, beyond just agreeing to the idea.
It's the highest level of commitment. The board approval legally confirms that the company is dedicating the time, the resources, and, the cultural transformation required, and the documents that prove they're ready. The sources list two: comprehensive financial audits and those formal board approvals. The audit proves the finances are transparent, and the approval confirms the internal authorities have made the formal IPO decision.
I see. So it's not just a handshake, it's a legal commitment, and the company secretary has to file and record all of it correctly. So once that internal bedrock is established, the company needs external experts to navigate the market. That's phase two, advisory appointment.
Precisely. This phase is the shift from self-assessment to professional guidance. You are assembling your A team. This is where the key external authorities, like the merchant bankers and specialized legal counsel, they enter the picture.
And what's the mechanism for locking in this really complex relationship?
The engagement letters. That is a critical document. It defines the scope, the fees, the responsibilities of all the external advisors. The roles now include that external expertise, specifically naming the lead merchant banker and the auditor. The outcome of phase two is about establishing a definitive, structured approach, turning the dream of an IPO into a real project plan.
Right, moving into section two, we hit the regulatory gate. This sounds like the highest hurdle, where the company's entire history and future plans are laid bare for scrutiny. Phase three is DRHP preparation.
This is absolutely where the rubber meets the road, and the focus is on a single monumental document, the Draft Red Herring Prospectus, or DRHP. If phase two is about getting the team, phase three is about that team producing an absolutely exhaustive account of the business.
We hear about the DRHP all the time. What exactly makes it such a behemoth of a document?
It is all about complete disclosure. That's the defined outcome of this stage. It has to contain the draft prospectus itself, which outlines the business, the risks, how they'll use the money, along with, detailed financial audits and multi-year financial forecasts. It forces the company to not only look backward, but to commit to a vision for the future under intense scrutiny.
With that much legal and financial pressure, it makes sense that the creation roles fall to the CFO and the legal team. So, who's the first big regulatory authority waiting to scrutinize this package in India?
That oversight belongs to SEBI, the Securities and Exchange Board of India. SEBI is the core market regulator. Its job is to ensure that the document contains everything necessary and isn't misleading. They're all about market integrity.
And that takes us right into phase four, filing and approval. This is the formal submission of that giant DRHP.
It's a critical regulatory pinch point. The submission responsibility falls mainly to the merchant banker, and the company secretary. But what's vital here is that two distinct authorities have to give their blessing. SEBI is involved, yes, granting the final market clearance, but a second critical authority joins, the ROC, the Registrar of Companies.
Okay, that's interesting. Why does the Registrar of Companies need to be involved at this stage, especially after SEBI has already reviewed the financial disclosure?
That's a fantastic question. It really highlights the system's checks and balances. SEBI reviews the integrity of the market offering, but the ROC oversees the integrity of the company itself as a legal entity. They make sure all the necessary changes to the company's core documents are done, that it's fully compliant with corporate laws for this kind of shift. So the outcome is securing formal regulatory clearance. It means the company has passed both the financial disclosure test and the corporate legal compliance test.
So having passed through that really stringent regulatory gate, we're now in Section 3, from clearance to trading readiness. So we have permission to issue shares, but we're not like physically trading yet. That's Phase 5, listing application.
Yes, and this transition is key. Regulatory clearance is just the permission slip. Listing readiness is all about the logistical setup. The company now has to apply to this specific trading venue where they want their shares to be bought and sold.
So we shift focus entirely to the stock exchanges themselves, the NSE and the BSE, in the context of our sources. What do they demand that SEBI didn't?
They demand operational documentation.
Right.
Because SEBI reviews the prospectus, the story. The exchanges care about the physical mechanics. The documents needed here are the updated ROC filings, confirming the company's new public status, and the specific listing documents the exchanges require. These docs cover practical details like share structure, clearing mechanisms, trading compliance, that sort of thing.
And the key roles here are, again, the CS and the merchant banker, making sure all that paperwork lines up with what the exchanges need. So the outcome of Phase 5 is achieving trading readiness. The company is now physically ready to go live. With all the bureaucratic steps finally complete, we move into Section 4, market appeal and execution. The rules change completely here. It's time to sell the story, leading us to Phase 6, marketing.
Right. The focus shifts from appeasing regulators to convincing capital. The central document here isn't a legal filing, it's the roadshow presentations. This is the company's polished pitch deck, detailing why they are a unique investment opportunity.
And this is where the dynamic changes fundamentally, isn't it? Who takes the lead in this intense period of pitching?
It's the core leadership.
Yeah.
The CEO, who sells the vision, and the IR, the investor relations team, who manage all the communication. But here's the major insight from the source material. The ultimate authority in this phase shifts entirely to the investors themselves. They are the ones who vote with their capital.
That is a critical distinction. The investors are the decision makers. They decide if the outcome, which is generating investor interest, is successful or not. They hold all the power until that book is closed.
And if that interest is successfully generated, we move immediately into Phase 7, pricing and allotment. This is crunch time. The logistics of matching the money received with the shares that were promised.
So we're talking about processing millions of application forms and issuing the final allotment advice. Who is the quiet but absolutely pivotal player managing that whole back-end process?
That role belongs to the registrar. Their job is incredibly complex and critical. They process all the applications, ensure fair allocation across different investor categories like retail, institutional, and they manage any necessary refunds. They're the impartial arbiter.
Making sure the whole distribution is legal and accurate, and the authorities involved in this final execution step.
They're the logistical infrastructure. The depositories, which is where the shares are held electronically, and the stock exchange, which validates the trade execution. The immediate outcome of Phase 7 is the successful issue. The capital is in, the shares are allocated, and the company is officially trading.
But the moment that bell rings, the IPO journey ends, and, well, another much more demanding journey begins. We're into Section 5, the post-listing horizon, Phase 8. The IPO is the starting line, not the finish line.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the IPO forces a fundamental change in corporate culture. It's a shift to continuous compliance. Suddenly, the company's reporting to the entire world every quarter, every half year, forever.
That sounds like a massive operational burden. What really defines this perpetual commitment?
It's defined by a continuous stream of financial reports and governance documentation. These are the public company's lifeblood. The authorities are back to SEBI and the exchanges, just ensuring market conduct is maintained post-listing.
And the internal roles that have to bear the brunt of this new reality.
The board and the compliance teams. the board is now publicly liable for the sustained accuracy of all reporting. What's beautiful about how the sources end this roadmap is that the final stated outcome of the entire 8-phase process is defined as sustained trust. It just underscores that all the previous regulatory effort was just preparation for maintaining that confidence indefinitely.
It truly frames the IPO as a massive exercise in accountability, where trust is the ultimate long-term asset. So what does this all mean? We've taken this arduous journey alongside the company, moving from an internal decision backed by detailed audits through extensive regulatory disclosures for SEBI and the ROC, and finally to market execution managed by the merchant banker and that crucial registrar.
You now have a clear structure for one of the most critical events in a company's lifecycle. The accountability is precise. The merchant banker guides the process, the CS ensures corporate integrity, the CFO guarantees financial truth, and the registrar executes the final transaction. It's a beautifully defined set of roles.
It provides fantastic clarity. And to leave you with a final concept to mull over, based on the source material's focus on documents and authorities. The source highlights that regulatory approval in phase four, you know, with SEBI and the ROC, is distinctly separate from listing readiness in phase five with the ROC and the exchanges. This raises an important question you should consider. Why are the requirements of the stock exchanges, like the NSE and BSE, so different from the regulator, SEBI, that the company has to treat them as two totally separate processes?
The difference really lies entirely in their goal. SEBI's clearance is intellectual. It confirms your prospectus is honest and complete. The exchange's acceptance is logistical and operational. The exchanges are looking at systems. Can our platform handle your shares? Are your depositories set up correctly? Have you paid the listing fee? They're confirming the mechanism works, while SEBI is confirming the ethics of the disclosure.
Two different forms of compliance, both absolutely essential for success on day one. A truly insightful deep dive into the blueprint of the IPO journey.